Hello and welcome to Healthy Mind, Healthy Life with your host Avik. This podcast is all about exploring the latest research, sharing personal stories and providing personal tips for improving our mental health and well-being. Each episode will be joined by experts in the field of mental health as well as individuals who have experienced the transformative power of a healthy mind firsthand. Together, we will dive into a range of topics from managing stress and anxiety to building resilience and cultivating happiness. So, join us on this journey to discover new ways to take care of our minds, bodies, and souls. And let's work together to create a healthier, happier world one episode at a time. So, let's get started. Hello and welcome to Healthy Mind, Healthy Life. I'm your host Avik, and today we are honored to have Dale Wolves with us. So welcome to the show, Dale.
Thank you very much, Avik. Great to be here.
Lovely, lovely. So Dale, like before we start our conversation today, I would love to mention this to all of our listeners that Dale is a coach specializing in supporting families affected by schizophrenia. So with his live love method and 45 years of the personal experience, he offers invaluable insights and the tools for navigating the challenges of this condition. So why to wait? Let's join us as we explore Dale's remarkable journey and how he's empowering the families to find the hope and healing at the same time. So welcome to the show again, Dale.
Thank you very much, Avik. It's great to be here, and I'll just start with a little, like a 2 to 3 minute history of my history and my journey. So basically, I was at Dartmouth College in 1975 after a very academically successful but drug filled year as a freshman year, and I went the summer after my freshman year, and the drugs, I think, like sort of like came like in a tsunami and overwhelmed my mind. And I came up with what I thought was a great joke, which was, "Hi, I'm God." And then I would see how long it was before I burst into hysterical laughter, because how could God be 5'8"? But, nobody saw the humor. And so next thing I know, I'm in a mental hospital in New York City for 13 weeks. And I eventually came to a psychiatric program for adolescents and young adults in Hackensack, New Jersey. And I spent 5 years there. It was like a live-in residence program. And then I got out of there. I got my own apartment, and I went back to school at Fairleigh Dickinson University, graduated magna cum laude in English in 1985, and basically began an entrepreneurial career as an independent tutor. I would help people write papers and everything, and in whatever subject they needed except the hard sciences. And so basically I've been dealing with schizophrenia for 49 years, since 1975, and about 7 years ago I came up with this idea that one thing was, I realized how much pain I put my own family through my illness. That was like a very big revelation and everything. And so I decided to try to use my insights and my revelations about the illness from my journey into a way to help the family caregivers of those with schizophrenia, because I realized that families are basically the forgotten victims of mental illness, basically because, the patient, or I hate that word, but we'll just use it for, practical purposes. But the patients have their own team. They have a doctor, they have a psychologist, they have a social worker, depending on what program they're in. But the families are like often just left out in the cold. And because of American HIPAA laws, which means that the patient can give their information to whoever they want to, So in a lot of cases, the family members can't even talk with the doctors and find out what's going on and everything. So I initiated a program where I could use my experience and my insights to not only help people learn how to communicate better with their loved ones, but also rescue and reclaim their lives from the burden of codependency that they often fall into.
That's very lovely. I mean, it's great to hear from someone like you who has experienced these things. So it's really great for sharing your journey. So from here, one more thing is coming to my mind. Like, what are some of the common misconceptions or maybe the stigma that is around schizophrenia that you have encountered? And if so, how do you, I mean, how do they impact the individual's diagnosed conditions?
That's a very good question, Alec. And basically, one thing that about humans is what they don't understand, they get a lot of times they get scared of. And I mean, so there's a fundamental difference between it. Well, on one level, there's a fundamental difference between mental and physical health, because if you tell someone you have cancer, even diabetes, or muscular dystrophy or cerebral palsy, then they're very sympathetic, and they sometimes they even pity you because of the diagnosis. But with mental illness, I mean, whether it's schizophrenia or bipolar depression or anxiety, these are all, I mean, they're physical in the fact that it all takes place in the brain, but ultimately they're mental illnesses, and therefore, people just, unless you've experienced it, you have like no basis to know what it's about. One thing that has come to mind recently is one of my friends who I met in the hospital actually once said, people don't realize the pain of mental illness. And that's coming from the personal perspective. But on the perception of other people, I mean, they see people talking to themselves, or and they say they get scared because they don't understand, what the illness is about. And every time you hear about a mass murder or mass shooter, they say, first thing they say is, well, yeah, they question whether he had a mental illness diagnosis or not. And there's actually this girl who started an organization called Students Against Psychosis, and she was a schizophrenic. She had a schizophrenic episode, I think, at Penn State University, and she did a very famous TED Talk, which you can see on YouTube, called "I Am Not a Monster." But this perception that anybody with schizophrenia is like a mass killer, or is going to create violence, and it's a myth, but it's a very well-enforced myth, because social media or mass media, movies and television and everything, if someone's a schizophrenic, they're always shown to be, on the edge of violence and everything. And to tell you the truth, Alwick, there's a statistic that says it's 50% more likely that a person with a mental illness will have violence perpetrated against them than to actually perpetrate violence themselves. So that ignorance and that fear that's caused by that ignorance is basically the major stigma I see of schizophrenia, of mental illness. And that's why I want to like basically become the poster child of schizophrenic recovery, because another myth is that once you have the diagnosis, there's no hope. You might as well just like pack in your life and like commit, resign yourself to a life of non-meaning and everything. And I'm not the only person who's recovered, well, excuse me, who's recovered from schizophrenia. But there are, especially as more and more is known about the illness, you know, the chances for recovery are improving all the time. And, but, you know, I'm in my first hospitalization, my doctor told me my brain was broken. And basically that was like sort of the feeling it'll be forever broken. And that's, you know, neuroscience and all sorts of things that prove that's not true. So, but, you know, this is perception that once you have the diagnosis, it's forever, is like another big stigma that I want to fight.
Understood. So, if you can also share, like, the challenges that individuals with schizophrenia face when it comes to that seeking the treatment, support for the condition. So what kind of challenges do you find?
Well, one thing I should point out is every case is different. So, you know, I don't know if you know that movie with Russell Crowe, A Beautiful Mind, about John Nash, who was like a Nobel Prize winning mathematician, but he had schizophrenia. And, you know, I saw that movie. It was like an excellent portrayal of schizophrenia, but it wasn't my schizophrenia. And you know, that's one thing to always bear in mind, is that every case is different. But there's something called agnosognosia, which is, have you ever heard of that term?
Not exactly.
Well, agnosognosia is a term taken from neurology that's used for stroke victims. That means they're unable to comprehend that there's something wrong with them. And they found it in 50% of seriously mental ill cases, agnosognosia is like a major symptom. It's not just something that happens randomly. It's like a major symptom of the illness. So your inability to understand that you're sick is like probably the biggest challenge to getting help, because if, you know, especially if if you have schizophrenia, you will need medication. But, you know, if you don't think there's anything wrong with you, you know, you think you're perfectly fine and, you know, everybody else is crazy and you're the sane one, then you're going to be like very reluctant not only to comply with a medication regimen, when the medication at first especially like causes you to feel terrible, but also it also gets in the way of you know, finding a psychiatrist, going to a psychiatrist, going to a doctor, and just like generally approaching recovery. Because if you think you have nothing to recover from, then you have like no way, you know, you have no way to judge how much you need it.
That's something really great, I would say. Here the most important part is a lot of new things we are learning, and definitely I'm sure that people are gonna resonate and be helpful understanding these issues, because in our lives we often faces this kind of scenarios and we are not sure like what to do. But here your insights, your experiences will definitely add values to people's lives. So thank you so much for this. And
well, I appreciate that. And so another thing is that excuse me. Let me just get some water.
Yeah, please.
Another thing about it is the symptomology itself. You know, I've never like heard voices or had hallucinations. You know, my problem is always my delusions and my thinking I was God and everything. But a lot of people, I would say probably the majority of schizophrenics hear voices or visual or audio hallucinations. And that's another big obstacle, because you don't know, you know, first off, especially if you have agnosognosia, you don't realize that the voices are all in your head, and because they sound like they're coming from outside, even though there's no agency to, for the voices. But, you know, if you have voices telling you, you're a terrible human being, you should kill yourself, you know, or something like that, then that's going to obviously affect your mindset, and, you know, you're going to be more likely to believe the voices rather than what other people are telling you, and, you know, and the other people can't hear what you're hearing. So it's like a snowball effect. And the other thing is just being self-aware enough to know when you're psychotic. Psychotic meaning out of touch with reality. And in my life, I haven't been in the hospital basically since 1993. So I'm 31 years out of the hospital. But between 1975 and 1993, I was hospitalized 15 times. And so, you know, each hospitalization was like a greater self-awareness. And I think that's why, you know, a lot of people say that the more you live with it, the easier it gets. You know, I'm not sure that's true. But in my case, it's been true because, you know, as I said, I was in a program for 5 years. And during that time in the program, I was hospitalized 9 times. And the other 6 times, I admitted myself to the hospital because I was aware that I was psychotic and I needed the hospital, you know. And each time I went to the hospital, it was for less and less time. The final 2 or 3 hospitalizations, it was because my medication stopped working, or, you know, it was a medication problem rather than a psychotic episode. But this idea that, you know, if you're having hallucinations and you can't tell what reality is, then it's going to be very hard to have the self-awareness and the ability to say no to the hallucinations and get better.
Okay, lovely. So also, like, what do you think, like, the societal attitudes towards mental illness, including like schizophrenia, impact the public policy and the allocation of the resources for the mental health care? What do you think?
I'm sorry, I'm not sure I understood the question.
Okay, so I'm saying, like, the attitude of the society regarding the mental illness, including schizophrenia. What do you think, like, how it impact the public policy and the resources for the mental health care?
Well, I think the most important thing is to have people with, you know, I think more and more people with schizophrenia are starting to speak out, you know, and doing what I'm doing, and just, like, help people understand the myths and the stigma are not necessary. As I use the analogy, you know, people say, well, I know I've been out of the hospital for 31 years now because I take my medication every day, you know, and medication is like a very important part of recovery, I believe. But the fact is that if people see that there is recovery and they see they can perceive a difference as people get better, then that's going to be, that's going to help fight the stigma. But not enough people with schizophrenia have the capacity or the ability to talk about their illness to be able to help people understand. As I said, self-awareness is very important for the patient, but understanding for the caregivers, but also for society at large, and getting out of the stereotypes that Hollywood and, you know, social media and stuff create about mental illness is also very important. And that's where people like myself and, you know, there are other people, as I say, there are other people coming out now, you know, talking about their schizophrenia openly. And that's another, component of it is for people just to not be afraid of talking about schizophrenia. Because to tell you the truth, Alwick, I'm finding it difficult to find people, you know, clients for my business, because I think, you know, I think the basic problem is, you know, family members, caregivers, and everything are very reluctant to come out of the closet and say they need my help, because they're so, you know, schizophrenia is, it causes so much shame, you know, unjustifiably. It is like a chemical imbalance in your brain. That's basically what it is. And but, you know, there's so much stigma and so much prejudice about mental illness that, you know, it's very hard. It's very hard for people to, like, have the courage to come out and say, well, you know, my son is a schizophrenic and I need help, and that, you know, therefore I'm reaching out to you.
Okay. Got it. So, before we wrap up, like, looking ahead, what changes do you hope to see in how society perceives and supports the individuals with schizophrenia and other mental health conditions?
Well, it's not just society. It's the process of healing in the first place, of recovery in the first place. And, you know, when I was first diagnosed in 1975, 49 years ago, the whole mindset, you know, of professionals towards schizophrenia was, like, very close-minded, basically. And I think there's more and more research is done, more and more people, you know, professionals understand what it's about, then it's going to, like, help people, you know, not only recover more easily, but also, and, you know, begin to end the stigma, because ultimately, you know, they say there's no cure for schizophrenia, there's only remission. And I basically feel I'm in medicational remission recovery. You know, as for society, it's just like a matter of education and showing people, you know, that the things they're believing about serious mental illness simply aren't true, because they've been, I use this as a generic term, they've been brainwashed by the media to think one way about serious mental illness that isn't justified.
Exactly true. Lovely. Thanks for sharing your insights, Dale. So, like, we definitely want to extend dear listeners our gratitude to Dale for sharing his invaluable insights into the stigma and the challenges surrounding the schizophrenia recovery. So his journey from profound psychosis to remarkable recovery serves as a beacon of hope for the individuals and the families affected by this condition. So always remember that recovery is always an option. And by fostering the understanding, empathy, and support, we can break down the barriers of the stigma and create a more inclusive and compassionate society. So join us next time for another enriching conversation on healthy mind and healthy life. And until next time, stay healthy, stay safe, and stay very, very well. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Alwick. It's been a pleasure. Good talking with you.